have another term for it, which is the driving optional city. But it's a city in which it's possible to be a viable citizen without having the automobile as a prosthetic device, you know, just to live your daily life. And of course, in most of America that we've built since the middle of the last century has been built around the presumption of individual car ownership for everyone who can drive, in a society in which actually one-third of us don't drive. So it's created real problems for people, but also, as I argue in my book, it's created a lot of waste, and I would say probably a lot of unnecessary misery.
One of the things that drives, and I guess no pun intended, our use of cars around a city like Rochester is the weather. This time of year, in about 6 months of the year, yeah, we've got terrible winter weather half the time.
Every place I go seems to think that they have the worst climate in America. And I should say that the techniques that we use to make places more walkable have been learned from, you know, Chicago in the wind, from New Orleans in the sun, from Portland in the rain. And if you get the design right, people will walk. Certainly climate plays a role. And systems like overhead pedestrian walkways can play a positive and a negative role. But the bottom line is even the most bitter environment has demonstrated the capacity to create a huge pedestrian culture when the spaces of the streets are delightful.
Now, later on today, you are actually going to be taking a tour of Rochester, because until today, you had not been here yet. You're going to take a look and see what we can do to improve our downtown. But you were telling me that you can actually do some of this in advance on Google Earth.
So since my book came out, I've been giving one lecture a week about somewhere in the country. And I started out just showing up and talking, but I quickly learned that it was very easy for me to use Google to visit the city virtually beforehand. Now, it's really important to visit, because if you can't, you know, see, smell, hear, touch, taste the local experience, you're not going to understand it. But I can tell from the air, for example, that you have certain issues that other cities have that are things that other cities are fixing that you may or not be fixing yet. I know you've got your beltway around the city, which is being at least partly removed, which is puts you ahead of many places.
The inner loop, yes.
The inner loop. I see that you have some one-way pairs, for example, Clinton and Paul.
St. Paul.
Of the sort that other cities are reverting back to two-way with dramatic impacts, positive impacts on businesses and on walking.
What is it about being walkable that, in your mind, is so crucial to a vibrant city?
Well, you know, there's the larger social issues of, you know, the fact that, in fact, people are healthier in cities because they're walking more. People are safer in cities, believe it or not, even if you can include crime. People are safer in cities because they're walking rather than driving. And certainly all the waste associated with the automobile makes actually us more efficient in cities. But as far as cities being more competitive, it's very clear that the two largest demographic groups that are moving, that exist in this country, that are the front-end boomers and the millennials, you know, these two groups that constitute, that are said to constitute 88% of the households that will form in the next 10 years, they are all expressing a preference. Well, I should say, the polls suggest that there's a strong preference among these groups for city living, and particularly, and I should say only, for walkable city living. They are moving to cities because they want the freedom of not having to drive everywhere. They want the lifestyle that, you know, the millennials growing up on Friends and on Seinfeld and on Sex and the City, they want to live that lifestyle that they admired growing up in the suburbs, right? So, you know, they are moving to cities that provide that. But if your city is not a walkable city, it's not the kind of city they're going to move to.
Now, Rochester, and I have to imagine other cities are very similar, we have neighborhoods, we have sections that are quite walkable. In our case, one of the great examples would be our Park Avenue neighborhood.
Okay.
Can you do this neighborhood by neighborhood, or does a city really need a master plan to make this work?
Oh, you can absolutely do it neighborhood by neighborhood or even street by street. And there are certainly opportunities in every neighborhood, particularly pre-war neighborhoods, you know, neighborhoods that were designed before and therefore are not designed around the presumption of automobile use. You can do it anywhere, though, but I tend to point people downtown, because downtown is the place where you already have a mix of uses, and you probably have your tightest street grid, the smallest blocks, mm-hmm. which adds up to walkability. And it's where these people who want to move to walkable places tend to look first. You know, the millennials certainly are looking for that urban lifestyle that can really only be found in the downtowns of mid-sized cities. You know, in larger cities, they can be found all over. But in a place like Rochester, that Seinfeld experience is only available in the downtown.